I see.
However, Mr. Holmes, I was too disturbed in my mind to think of business matters, so I was back in Norbury by 1 o'clock. It happened that my way home took me past the cottage, and I stopped for a moment to look at the windows, wondering if by chance I might once again see the face I had seen the day before. To my surprise, the door of the cottage suddenly opened. It was nothing, however, to my surprise on seeing who it was that emerged.
Oh, Jack, I'd just been to see if I could be of any assistance to our new neighbours. Why do you look at me that way?
So this is where you went on leaving your bed.
What do you mean? I've never been here before.
How can you stand there telling me what you know to be false?
Jack!
Your voice, your face, everything about you changes as you speak.
Jack, don't be angry with me.
When have I ever had a secret from you? Well, I'm going into the cottage. I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
No! Oh, no, Jack, for God's sake!
Let go of my arm!
I beg you not to do this. I swear that I will tell you everything one day.
Too late!
Jack! Nothing but misery can come if you enter that cottage.
I'm going in.
No, Jack. Trust me. In God's name, trust me. Trust me only this once, and I swear you will never have cause to regret it. Our whole lives are at stake in this. If you come home with me now, all will be well. If you enter that cottage, all is over between us.
You are asking a great deal of me, Effie.
I'm asking for the only thing I can ask for. Your trust.
Very well. I will trust you on one condition, and one condition only. That this mystery comes to an end from this very moment. You are at liberty to keep your secret, but you must promise me there shall be no more nightly visits, no more behavior which is kept from me.
Oh, Jack, I will do anything you ask, anything. I promise. Believe me, I promise.
Very well. Let us say no more.
Now let's go back to the house, my dear. Come on, let us go back. Let us get away from here.
As we made our way from the cottage, I looked back, and there in the upper window was that yellow, livid face watching us. I wondered what in God's name could be the connection between that creature and my wife, or how could the woman whom I had seen the day before be connected with her.
And so, what did you do?
Nothing, at first. For 2 days afterwards, I stayed at home, and my wife appeared to be keeping her promise not to go to the cottage. She seemed to be loyal to our agreement, and as far as I knew, never left the house.
You said you did nothing at first, Mr. Monroe.
Yes. On the third day, something happened which gave me ample evidence that her promise was far from being kept.
And what evidence was this?
I had gone into town that day, but returned by an earlier train than usual. I entered the house and...
Effie! Effie, I'm back! Effie?
Oh, sir. So I didn't expect you.
No, I caught an earlier train.
I see. Excuse me, sir. I've things to do.
One moment.
Sir?
Where is your mistress?
She, I think she's gone for a walk, sir.
A walk?
Yes, sir.
You think so?
Excuse me, sir. I really must get on with my work now.
Is something wrong?
Wrong, sir? No, no, sir.
You seem somewhat upset.
Upset, sir? No, sir. It's just...
You have things to do. I quite understand. Very well. Off you go.
Thank you, sir.
My mind was instantly filled with suspicion. I rushed upstairs to make sure she was not in the house. As I did so, I happened to glance out of one of the upper windows and saw the very maid with whom I had just been speaking running across the field in the direction of the cottage. Then, of course, I saw exactly what it all meant. My wife had gone over there and had asked the servant to call her if I should return. Tingling with anger, I rushed down and strode across, determined to end the matter once and forever.
Thus you encountered your wife and the maid.
I saw them hurrying back together along the lane, but I did not stop to speak with them.
Your state of mind was focused on the cottage.
On nothing else, for in there lay the secret which was casting a shadow over my life, and I vowed that, come what might, it should be a secret no longer. I did not even knock when I reached it, but turned the handle and rushed into the passage. It was all still and quiet on the ground floor. A kettle was singing on the fire, and a large black cat lay coiled up in a basket. But there was no sign of the woman whom I had seen before. There was no one at all in the whole house. The furniture and pictures were of the most common and vulgar description, save in the one chamber at the window of which I had seen the strange face. That was comfortable and elegant. And all my suspicions rose into a fierce, bitter blaze when I saw that on the mantelpiece stood a full-length photograph of my wife, which had been taken at my request only 3 months ago.